This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
1320 WILS. Wow, it is, it's 70, it's 81 right now. And it's going to get much hotter. Low 57 tonight. Tomorrow, high of 82 with some thunderstorms expected. And then this weekend, we're going up to 91 as a high on Saturday. And looking ahead to Sunday, 94 as a high. Get ready to sweat. Hey, let's talk some more about what's going on with President Trump and today's testimony by former FBI Director James Comey. Alan Sachs is with us to give us some perspective, political science professor at the University of Texas at Arlington. Alan, great to have you on WILS.
Good evening. Thank you very much.
Yeah, do you feel, first of all, what are your thoughts about what you heard from Director or former Director Comey? Did he in any way support what President Trump has been saying?
No, I didn't learn much new from Mr. Comey, the former FBI director, except two things stood out in my mind. Number one, he leaked information to newspapers. That's not good. That's number one. Number two, Loretta Lynch, the former attorney general in President Obama's administration, she did try to intervene in the election, mostly on the side of Hillary Clinton.
Now, what did he say? Good. What did he say about Loretta Lynch?
He said that she tried to get him to reword a lot of things, or at least one word on the investigation that Mr. Comey was conducting on Hillary Clinton. He was using the word investigation of Mrs. Clinton. She said to the FBI director, no, use the word matter, M-A-T-T-E-R, which has a less bellicose and criminal kind of a meaning. And that was the same word that the Clintons were using in their campaign.
Did he follow her?
Matter. He did that. He changed it from investigation to matter. So the attorney general also met on the tarmac, as a lot of people might remember, with the former president, Clinton, as the investigation or a matter was being conducted by the FBI director. And that may have led to him coming out a little bit later on, the FBI director, in one of the most bizarre episodes, I think, in political history, outlining all of the, quote, things that Mrs. Clinton had violated, all the laws, and then saying at the end, but we're not going to inspire any kind of a charge or investigation. It was one of the most bizarre statements, I think, of all time.
So from what you heard today, is your conclusion that when Loretta Lynch met with President Clinton, that she, in fact, was talking about letting Hillary go on the email case?
It sure does seem like it, or that President Clinton was trying to influence her in some way. President Clinton actually appointed Mrs. Lynch, I believe, as a U.S. attorney, or maybe a judge, I'm not sure what it was, early in his administration. So they knew each other, and they met, quote, accidentally on a tarmac. And nobody would have known about it unless there was a reporter who was there at the time covering another story.
Mm. Hey, tell me, that Alan Sachs, by the way, he's right here with us on 1320 WILS. What did you make of him saying that the president, well, essentially told him that he hopes that they can drop the Russia investigation, that he didn't necessarily order him to do it. But what did you make of that?
Well, the Democrats kept pushing him, as the Democrats did yesterday. Well, yesterday, there were four intelligence chiefs, well, three plus the assistant attorney general. And the Democrats kept saying that they kept pushing him, pushing him, pushing. Mm-hmm. Was there a collusion? Did President Trump somehow try to intervene to get the investigation stopped somehow on the collusion charge? And all of them said to a man, no, he did not. We have not been influenced in any way. There was an admiral, the head of the NSA, who said very explicitly, I'm putting in my words, I have not been influenced. I never have been. It didn't happen.
And so, what did Comey say?
They kept pushing him to say. Yeah. And today, Mr. Comey really almost said the same thing. in a little less demanding words, nobody asked him directly to stop the investigation.
Why do you think? Part of the criticism of the president is that he left himself alone with Comey. He made a point of doing that. Why do you think he did?
Well, they had dinner together. I guess that's fine. There's no problem in that. It was done at the urging, I think, of the president, and that was talked about. I don't think there's anything wrong in the FBI director having a dinner meeting or several dinner meetings with the president of the United States.
Do you know, Alan, historically, do you think presidents have talked this way with FBI directors, telling them kind of what they hope can turn out?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I don't know, and maybe we'll never know. Hmm. I do know that years ago, there was an FBI director by the name of J. Edgar Hoover, who sort of set the scene for the FBI for many years to come. And the rumor is, and I think many historians would probably bolster it, is that the presidents were so afraid of the FBI director, fearful of what they, quote, had on various presidents, that they refused to confront J. Edgar Hoover. Now, those days are long past, but that was an interesting period of time when many presidents, and I think J. Edgar Hoover served with many American presidents, were afraid to confront him. He was that powerful.
Now,
in subsequent years, I don't think that that has occurred.
When you look historically at what's happening now, how big of a deal is this Russia investigation going to turn out to be, in your view?
I think it's going to cost a lot of energy. I think it's going to cost a lot of time and money and probably end up nowhere. However, what it is going to accomplish, and the Democrats will benefit from it, they are going to slow down, obstruct the President Trump's administration. President Trump, however, I would criticize him in one major way, and I think a lot of other people have also. He does not know how to handle personal relationships. He just doesn't know how to do it. He's been a businessman all of his life, a pretty rough and tumble one, but when you get into politics, you have to smooth it out a little bit.
What makes you say that? Specifically, what makes you say that, though?
Well, it's the way that it seems like that so many of the Democrats and the entertainment world and the academic world, I would argue, can't prove it, that part of their animosity toward the president is not just because of the policies, it's because of who he is. His rough language, how he acts, how he does things, and that's what they don't like. I don't think they'd like him much more if he was a little bit more of a, quote, gentleman, but the fact that he's a little bit rough around the edges, I think is something that rubs them the wrong way.
It gets personal when you look at it, and they feel very personally towards him. It's pretty incredible. I'm curious, though, when you look at why they're not moving things like tax reform or repeal of Obamacare, why are lawmakers not able to focus on that while these investigations go on?
Well, that's it. They're all focused on this investigation. In fact, as I understand it, there were two U.S. senators that sat in the audience today as the congressional hearings were taking place. And that rarely happens, that just two senators who are not on that committee would come there and sit in the audience watching the testimony.
Well, why do you think Republicans are doing this? They have the power to basically shift their attention. Why do you think they're following this road?
Well, that's a good question. The Republican Party, going back many years, even into President Obama's administration, the leadership has not been as strong and as powerful as some conservatives would have hoped. And that, in fact, is really what gave rise to the Tea Party.
Okay.
The Tea Party arose primarily to confront the Republican Party, the Republican leadership, because many of the Tea Party people were Republicans. And they said, give us some strong leadership, do something. So they're furious. They were furious earlier at John Boehner, who eventually resigned. Now they're very mad at Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and other Republican leaders. And that is where the personal touch comes in.
So President Trump
has alienated so many people, like John McCain, for example, a senior Republican who he really could use as a great asset.
Okay,
but he alienated him so badly during the campaign.
They know, that, right? They understand that their own agenda is being derailed. Are they willing to to derail their entire agenda during a window where they have a chance to do things?
Probably
to focus
so.
On
That's
this.
That's a good question. Probably so. And by the way, the day is today in foreign policy, and foreign policy as well as domestic policy is very critical. I just read where in England, in the UK, it looks like that Theresa May, the Conservative Prime Minister, at this moment may not have enough votes to continue as Prime Minister. She has more votes in the Parliament than any other political party, but not an absolute majority to control it. And the Labour Party is run by a man by the name of Jeremy Corbyn, and he is a radical leftist. He wants to negotiate with terrorist groups, nationalize British industry. So we need a strong helm at the United States government, because if England changes in a dramatic direction, and it very well may because of this, we need strong leadership here at home to confront what is going on in the world.
How do you make sense of that? They just had these two major terrorist attacks. How are they moving to the left after that?
It is really bizarre. Yeah. And the reason why they're moving to the left, I would imagine, one of them is the terrorist attacks actually helped the left, because Theresa May actually cut down a little bit on security for money reasons in the UK. So they're blaming a little bit of the terrorist attacks on her. But they're lunging toward the left. And in England, there's always been a strong left. Even after World War II, some people might remember Winston Churchill was rejected as Prime Minister in favor of a Labour government. After all that he had done for the United Kingdom, they tossed him out of office, brought in a strong Labour government. But that Labour government in world, after World War II was not nearly as radical, I don't believe, as this Jeremy Corbyn is today. It is really, and I'll just put my fingerprints on it, I guess, this Jeremy Corbyn is really bad news for the United Kingdom and for the Western world.
And right now it looks like he may be the next, what, Prime Minister? Is that it?
He may not be Prime Minister because he doesn't have enough votes either, but what is happening, they may need a coalition government. And already another political party in the British parliamentary system is saying they will not form a government with Theresa May, the Conservative. So it could, at the outset, Jeremy Corbyn could try to form a political coalition with the other minor parties. That's going to be difficult to do, but that may actually come about.
Alan Sachs, political science professor at the University of Texas at Arlington. Alan, great to have your insight. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.